Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So how about the donkeys? Scholars say that the authentic hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam states that if you hear the donkey, what is the sound of a donkey? Bark or bray. Barking is for dogs and bray is for donkeys. And this is why you should be careful when you talk to non-Muslims and tell them that we pray. Because one of the Arabs wants to study English in one of the English countries, and they told him, speak to us about your religion. So he told them that we believe in the existence of one God and the Prophet Muhammad is his messenger, and we pray. And the teacher was shocked. Said, you pray? He says, yes, I pray. She says, why? He said, because this is my religion. Allah tells us to pray. And she understood, the teacher, she understood, but she wanted to teach him a lesson. And she said, all Muslims? He said, yes, all Muslims pray 5 times a day. So then she explained to him, pray is to worship Allah, which you should have said. Braying is the sound of a donkey. And Muslims don't bray. So the Prophet told us, when you hear the donkey braying, this is because it saw a shaitan. So seek refuge in Allah. Likewise, when we hear a rooster voice, and this is usually in the early mornings, what should we do? The Prophet tells us, whenever you hear a rooster, ask Allah from His grace. Why? The Prophet says, because it saw an angel. And when you ask Allah from His grace, the angel would convey this to Allah Azza wa Jal. All of this shows you how Muslims are interacting with the environment, with everything, even with the sound of animals, because everything worships Allah Azza wa Jal, and we either ask Allah for what benefits us or ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us refuge and protect us from what harms us. As for the women, scholars say that they cut off the prayer because of their beauty, of their charm, but this is not the only reason, because if your mother passes in front of you, you're not going to be lured by her beauty and charm. She's your mother. And likewise, if your daughter passes in front of you, therefore this justification is not the most authentic or the most accepted justification. Before Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, in the hadith, when she said that when the Prophet pinched her, scholars said that this is evidence that touching a woman does not nullify your wudu. And this is in answering to what Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy on his soul, says when he said that if a man touches a woman, even if she is his mother or sister or wife, this nullifies his wudu. The hadith here clearly states that this is not correct. And the majority of scholars say touching your wife, touching your sister is permissible. It does not affect your wudu. On the contrary, Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said that the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss one of his wives and go to prayer without wudu. So this is not touching, this is even more. This is kissing. And one of the narrators of the hadith, most likely it is Urwa ibn al-Zubayr, her nephew, said, I bet that you are the one who he used to kiss before going to prayer, and she laughed. Meaning that this is the fact, this is true. Therefore, we learn from different sources what affects our religion. So if someone went and followed the Shafi'i madhab in this aspect, now he knows that it doesn't nullify wudu, and he has to follow the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because the Prophet used to kiss and pray without performing wudu. Also, from this hadith, we learn the standard of living of our Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. A man who lived with his nation, with his followers for 23 years. A man who conquered so many places and gained a lot of booty and distributed all of that, keeping nothing for him. The least he could have had was a big house to live in. However, what was his house like? It was so small, it was so narrow, it was so low, to the extent that it had no space for him to prostrate while Mother Aisha was asleep. So it was not even 2 by 3 meters. It was probably 2 by 1.5 meters. Just enough for people to spend their time sitting, maybe. Sleeping, it's sufficient for 2 to sleep. But it was not at all enough for a man and his woman to one to sleep and one to pray. And this shows us how hard our Prophet's life was. Not because he could not afford it. On the contrary, he had money. But it was not his money. It was for the sake of the Ummah, and that is why he did not spend anything on himself. One of the great signs of corruption is that when a person is corrupt, you will see traces on his house. He would have a big mansion and probably a number of cars and lots of costumes and jewelry, and he would live the things that he had collected. What's the point on collecting things and leaving it for your offspring to enjoy after your death? You must enjoy it. However, with the Prophet, it was not, alayhi salatu wasalam, the same thing. He lived the life of a monk. And in the morning he was a warrior, at night he was a monk, alayhi salatu wasalam, in prayer. He distributed anything that came to him to the poor, to the extent that once he prayed a prayer, and after he finished the prayer, immediately after giving salam, he went to his house in a manner and fashion that was the first for the companions to see. And when he came back, they told him, Prophet of Allah, you did something that scared us. You never finished the prayer and stood up immediately. He said, while in prayer, I remembered that I had few golden coins. And in some narration, I had some raw material of gold, tibr, which I did not distribute for sadaqah, and I was afraid to keep it so long. And it wasn't his. He wanted to give it to sadaqah, but because it was in his home, he immediately quickly finished the prayer and went and distributed it. This shows us that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not a king, and he was not someone who was interested in this dunya. He lived like a messenger, like a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, and died like a servant of Allah. And the only thing he left behind after his death was a small property in Fadak, in Khaybar, if I'm not mistaken, and during which he used to get the income from that land to live the whole year. And when he died, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, took that land and put it back in the treasury of the Muslims. And Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, was angered by that because she thought that she had right in it. And he told her, you know that I love you more than I love my daughters, because you are the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, but you also know that the Prophet ﷺ said that we messengers, we prophets of Allah, we do not leave inheritance. So whatever money the Prophet had, it had to go back to the treasury. Any rich person, any tyrant, any corrupt person would have made sure that all of his offspring and relatives and close loved ones would get a portion of that. Not our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because he was the cream of Allah's creation. He was the elite, and he was the messenger and prophet of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent him a mercy to mankind. Compare his life to our life. Compare the time he used to spend at night prayer to our times. Compare how he used to wake his wives to offer witr with him, because he used to pray longer than they used to pray. Except when it's time for witr, he used to wake Aisha to pray with him witr prayer. All of this gives us a clear message how the Prophet's life was, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it also gives us how far we are from practicing and following the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam's, way of living. Regarding the dogs, we know that at the beginning, dogs were instructed to be killed all over Medina. The Prophet instructed them to kill all kinds of dogs. And after a while, this was abrogated, and he permitted them to keep the dogs in Medina, but to kill the dog that was black. And he said and indicated that a black dog must be killed. From this we learn, those who have black dogs and they use them as guarding dogs, they should get rid of them. You can get dogs that guard your house, your property, or your sheep, your cattle, or your farm, or the dogs that you use for hunting, but avoid black dogs, because this is the instruction of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.